Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Last week we commenced our new series, Spirit-Led Life, and we were with Jesus and his disciples in the upper room as he addressed the fear in the room. And he made a promise. His promise was this: I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. We unpacked that last week. I would recommend if you weren't here, go and listen to the podcast. Why the word orphans? Yes, Jesus was addressing the disciples' fear of being left alone, but there was more. There was way more. Something bigger, something more important. He was speaking to their identity. As we have said many times from this pulpit, when your identity changes, everything changes. We're not talking about woke identity. We're talking about the identity in Christ. When your identity in Christ changes, when you start knowing you're a son or a daughter and you start walking such as, everything else changes. I'm not just saying this. I am it. My life is a testimony of this. For many, many years, I walked differently. I walked as an orphan with an orphan mentality rather than as a son. But as soon as I realized that I am a son, it went from head knowledge to heart. When I knew I was a son, guess what? My life was different. My marriage was different. Parenting was different. My leadership was different. Being a friend was different. I was basically transformed from the inside out. And when I started walking in my true God identity, guess what? Everything else around me changed. Let me reiterate. When your identity changes, everything changes. Identity is one of my favorite topics. Ask anybody around me. I have a passion for it. The church needs to start walking in their true identity as sons and daughters. A couple of weeks ago, the family and I, we snuck out of Victoria and we went to the Gold Coast. As you do, go and seek the sun. And I was reading my Bible, as you do when you're on holiday, sometimes, guilty as charged. But I'm reading through Romans, and I'm in Romans 8, and just before verse 12, there are these words that say, sonship through the Spirit. Wow. Sonship through the Spirit. Another way of putting it is identity through the Spirit. Now, the context is we've just come out of our series on Teach Us to Pray, and we finished the last week with, and the Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. And then in front of me are these words, sonship through the Spirit. Do you think this got my attention? Yeah, baby. It got my attention for sure. Because you've got to think about it for a while. The Father, Jesus says in Luke 11:13, the Father will give the Holy Spirit. And then in Romans 8, it says sonship through the Holy Spirit. The Father gives, but there is also sonship. Now, this was a setup by God, I reckon. Here I'm in the Gold Coast to relax, but all of a sudden, this thing grips my heart. And of course, I could not stop thinking about it. Why? Because it's important. Because the progression that we've had over these past couple of months or weeks has been along the lines of, in Luke 11:13, the Father gives the Holy Spirit. Last week in John 14, we saw that Jesus promises his followers that we will not be left alone as orphans. And now in Romans 8:14, he's explaining how that promise becomes a reality through us and in us. Today, I want to continue our Spirit-led life by unpacking the Spirit who transforms. Title of the message, Spirit-led Life, the Spirit who transforms. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here. Help us to hear, not with our ears, but with our heart. Help us to see, not with our eyes, but with our heart. Help us to be bold, to receive what you want to give us today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. For the record, Romans 8 is very rich in the whole identity thing. Apostle Paul now writes to those people, to believers who are on the other side of the cross. He starts actually throughout Romans 8, actually spells out what life looks like after the Holy Spirit comes. So be encouraged, go and read Romans 8 this week. But I want to just highlight two verses, and they are Romans 8, 14 to 15. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Very powerful. We could spend a whole year unpacking just those two verses. The first thing that we notice in the scripture is that Paul does not begin with spiritual gifts. Paul does not begin with miracles. He does not begin with guidance. He begins with adoption. He begins with belonging, with identity, spirit of adoption as sons. It's important to note that before the Holy Spirit leads us into what we are called to do, He settles who we are. I love leadership. I love the fact that there's a lot of leadership colleges and, you know, there's so many courses on leadership, but I do have a bit of a bugbear with leadership. You see, the problem with us is that we are making leaders who walk around with orphaned mentality, instead of making leaders from people who walk around in their true identity as sons or daughters. Leadership is important, but our identity is more important than leadership. Let's raise sons and daughters first and then make leaders of them afterwards, because then life would be different. The world would be different. Community would be different. JJ, why do you say that? Because of this. You see, orphan mentality is normally insecure. A person who walks around with orphan mentality strives for acceptance. It's constantly trying to prove themselves. Walks in fear, is fearful, serves for approval. Whereas sons and daughters who know, they know that they are sons and daughters, are secure. They are bold. They are confident. They are loving. Everything they do is different. Does it happen instantly? No, no, no. It's a journey. And this is what we're talking about today. But my idea in all of this is that you've got to hear me, that identity, walking as sons and daughters, is very important. Actually, identity is the starting point of every spirit-led life. Walking in your identity is the starting point of having a life that is spirit-led. I say this not only because I've experienced it in my own life, but because it's in Scripture. You see, the first transformation that the Holy Spirit brings is found in our identity, not our behavior. He doesn't transform our behavior. He transforms our identity. It stands in Scripture. Transformation from living like spiritual orphans into living as confident sons and daughters of the Most High God. Holy Spirit is all about establishing our identity as children of God before He ever leads us into our destiny. We live in a society where destiny, where we've got to strive to become someone. No, no, no. God is wanting us to walk in our identity. We are already sons and daughters of the Most High God. Holy Spirit is all about establishing that identity before He leads us into our destiny. Parents, let me speak to you today. I mean, we had four beautiful kids up here, but let me speak to us as parents today. Do yourself and your kids and this world a favor. Raise up your children in their true identity as kids of God, because that matters to God. That matters more to God. The fact that you're raising your children up as God's children, as sons and daughters who know who they are, is more important than giving them 7 degrees at a university. Because it's all about kingdom. It's all about advancing His kingdom. And when that happens, when we as a society, when we as a community, church community, start doing this, guess what? Our communities will be safer. Our politics will be more aligned. education will, and so I can go on. Are we in the right place? Have we got the right stuff happening? Maybe not. But you know what? We as parents can make can influence the next this generation so that the next is better than what we currently have. And it starts with identity. And that's why verse 14 and 15 of Romans 8 is so important, because Paul begins with a statement that can almost seem disconnected from what comes next. He says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." All who are led. The initial thing that stands out there is that the Holy Spirit is constantly leading. The Holy Spirit is constantly leading. So you and I, what do we have to do? We've got to continually surrender to His leading. Now, if you've been in church circles for 5 minutes, you've probably heard that this phrase of, "I'm being led by the Spirit," used in all kind of contexts, in all kind of ways, i.e., the Spirit led me to this job. The Spirit led me to move to another city. The Spirit led me to marry this person. The Spirit led me. And now I'm not saying that is not what the Holy Spirit does. He does lead. He certainly does guide our decisions. But when we read the scripture, and any scripture, we've actually got to ask the question, is that what it's really saying? So we ask that question, was that what Paul was referring to when he said those words? Or was there something deeper? Now, to find out if there was something deeper, how do we find that out, JJ? Good question. I'm glad you asked, because I've got an answer. We read the verse in context. It's always important to read scripture in context. So we read the verse in context, and as we do, we then find out that actually Paul is not primarily talking about guidance in decision making. He's actually talking about the Spirit's transforming work in identity. How did I get there? Just one verse earlier. If you go to verse 13, he writes, "If by the Holy Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Now, that's a mouthful. But then the very next word is what? For. I bolded it on purpose. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Let's read that together. "If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit are sons of God." In other words, Paul is saying that the evidence of the Spirit's leading is not simply that he tells us where to go, what to do, who to marry, where to work. Actually, the leading of the Holy Spirit is leading you away from your old life of sin into the likeness of Christ. That's transformation. It's not about guiding you into who to marry or where to work. No, no, no. First and foremost, Holy Spirit is not leading directionally, He's leading transformational. One of His ministries is to guide your directions and your decisions, but before He guides our directions, He transforms our hearts. Before He leads us into calling, He settles our identity as sons and daughters. And as we embrace our true identity as sons and daughters, so we begin to live truly a Spirit-led life. Folks, that is mind-blowing. That is mind-blowing. But it's not difficult. Let me say this. It's not complicated. We overcomplicate it. What are you talking about, JJ? It's as simple as embracing your God-given identity. How do I embrace my God-given identity, JJ? By allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you, by being Spirit-led, step by step, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second. You know what? Sometimes, if not most of the time, we become so preoccupied with asking, Holy Spirit, where should I go? Holy Spirit, what should I do? Holy Spirit, where should I work? That we miss the question that He is asking us. Who are you becoming? Who are you becoming? I believe that the greatest work of the Holy Spirit is leading us to live as the right person. What is the right person? Son of God. Nothing else. Simple as Son of God. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. I have to highlight though, you must note this, that the Spirit does not lead us so we become sons. He leads us because we are already sons. He leads us because we are already, when I say sons, I'm talking, it's not gender-based, all right? Just so that you know, ladies, I'm talking to you as well. He leads us because we are already sons and daughters. He doesn't lead us to become sons and daughters. Holy Spirit is not trying to make you part of God's family. He's teaching you how to live as someone who already belongs to God's family. And that, unfortunately, I have to admit, is where we as the church, us peoples, that's where we fall short, is living as someone who is already belonging to the family of God. Paul then goes along and he introduces one of the most profound, impactful contrasts, I believe, in the New Testament. He says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as son. Paul places these two completely different ways of relating to God side by side. This is important for us as the church to hear. He's talking about slavery and he's talking about sonship. Can I point out that it is fear goes hand in hand with the spirit of slavery. But sonship walks with the spirit of adoption. Another thing to note is Paul did not say that we have moved from slavery to freedom. Yes, we are free. Yes, we are free. But that's not what Paul is saying. Don't read into it what we want to read into it. Paul is not saying that we have moved from slavery to freedom. He says we have moved from slavery to adoption. It's important to hear this because God's goal was never just to set us free. God's goal was to bring us home. God's goal was to bring us back into relationship. God's goal was to bring us back into the family. Let me explain. You have a slave, and he can be free from his chains, but he still has no family. He still has no inheritance. He still has no place to belong. Actually, he has no future to call his own. That's a slave. We're talking about back in the Roman days, back in the Bible, in the ancient times, all right? But an adopted son or daughter receives a complete new identity. In this Roman world, adoption carried a profound significance. An adopted son was not just treated as a second-class member of the household. An adopted son was legally, he received the full standing of a natural-born son. He got full legal status of the new family. He received the family name. He had the father's authority and he had the father's protection. He received inheritance. He received every right and privilege that belongs to that family. Boom. But there's more. Because actually, the old legal identity of the slave was considered terminated, permanently severed. His old identity was legally erased that he could never be reclaimed. Think about that one for a little while. It was totally, totally legally erased that he could never reclaim that identity. And here is Paul, and Paul chooses, he chooses that picture deliberately because why? Because that's exactly what God has done for you and I through Christ. We are not simply pardoned criminals. Sin no longer has a claim over you. Shame no longer has a claim over you. Fear no longer has a claim over you. Your old identity has been legally erased through the blood of Jesus Christ and can never be reclaimed. Never. Never be reclaimed. Did I say that word? Never. Never be reclaimed. I am passionate about this. Through Jesus Christ, you have been adopted into the family of God. Folks, there is a difference about being forgiven and being adopted. You see, forgiveness removes the guilt of yesterday, but adoption gives you a future beyond today. Adoption gives you a future. You've been adopted as children of God. You have a future beyond today. Forgiveness says your debt has been canceled. Adoption says, pull up a chair. Sit at the table. It's your table. Church, hear me today. Hear me. Hear my heart. Your old identity has been terminated. God didn't just simply forgive your sin and send you on your merry little way with a good luck, mate. Hope you make it. No, no, no. He brought you into his family, a new family, as a son and a daughter. What does that mean? That means you have full standing as a son and a daughter. That means you have the Father's authority and protection. That means you have eternal inheritance. That means every right and every privilege that belongs to him belongs to you. It belongs to you. We can give God praise for that one. Let's move on. Watching time. Paul says, you did not receive the spirit of slavery. Listen to these words. To fall back into fear. Right there, Paul highlights something about the human heart. Any humans in this place? Any robots in this place? Any aliens in this place? Any humans in this place? Yeah, that's better. It's more of you. I'm seeing you. But he, right here, Paul highlights something about the human heart. Two words, fall back. What does fall back mean? It refers to going back to our old ways. It refers to going back to our old habits. It refers to going back to our old way of talking and living and thinking. Can we be real? Thanks, Pastor Russ. Pastor Russ says I can be real. Am I right to say that even though we've encountered grace, there's something within us that keeps drifting back towards performance? We fall back into thinking God only loves me when I'm doing things well. We fall back into believing that if I pray enough and if I serve enough and if I read enough and if I perform enough and if I perhaps God will finally be pleased enough with me. We fall back into fear. Fear that, oh, maybe I've disappointed him. Oh, what are people going to think? We fall back into fear that we fail too many times. There's no more hope. That's a taboo. And Father says, yeah, you're my son. You're my daughter. His love does not change. Fear that our weakness has somehow disqualified us from his love. But Paul comes to you today and says to you and says to me, that is not the spirit that you have received. Listen, church. Fear may be familiar, but it's not your inheritance. What is your inheritance? Sonship. Performance may be comfortable because we've lived there as the church for many, many years, but it's not your home. What is my home, JJ? Sonship. Kingdom of God, sonship. The Holy Spirit is constantly leading us into what? Into the security of sonship, not performance-based relationship with God. We do not try harder to become God's child. We already are his children. You are already his son. You're already his daughter. But all you need to do is do this. Live from the place of sonship. Live from the place of sonship. the place that Jesus has already secured for you and for me. Live from that place. Sila. Pause. Give him praise. Live from that place. You see, because the Holy Spirit doesn't, he doesn't expect perfection. He doesn't produce performance. He comes and he transforms us to live as sons and daughters who know and who walk in their identity, living in complete dependence on the Father. Living on complete dependence on the Father. What is that? That is living a Spirit-led life. As I was preparing, I sensed that that right there is the invitation for the majority of us today. We've been following Jesus for years, but unknowingly, we've built our relationship with God on performance instead of belonging. And I want to say this. I say this. I was there. Have I got a perfect? Heck no. I don't. Do I walk? You know, JoJo walks in his true identity every second of, nope. There are moments that I don't. There are moments that that orphan mentality creeps back. Just ask my family. But I don't. I'm not tossed to and throw because all of a sudden I know. Don't know, I know. I'm a son. I know that I can run to him instead of running away from him. I know I don't have to hide. Adam and Eve, they hid. We'll talk about this more next week. They hid. Father is not, that's not the kind of relationship we have. Holy Spirit is gently reminding you and I that you are not an orphan trying to find a father. You are a son and a daughter. Already a son and a daughter. And all he's doing is he's saying, come, be led by me and learn to live as the son and as the daughter. The next part of scripture talks about how Holy Spirit, the spirit of adoption, but how we cry, Abba, Father, through him. We won't be able to touch that because of time, but next week we'll definitely unpack that. But I'm trusting and hoping that as we've worked through these two verses, that there has been a revelation for you, a revelation of what God has for you, where God wants you to be. Just in two verses. I want to highlight this, though. Paul is not introducing a new idea. This is not a new idea that Paul is bringing. He's actually explaining the promise from Jesus. He's unpacking it for people like you and me. A promise that Jesus made earlier in the upstairs room to a group of very frightened, confused, disorientated disciples. When he said, I will not leave you as orphans. Guess what, folks? Jesus kept his promise. He's faithful. He's loving. He kept his promise and he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who transforms. And the result, what is the result? You're not becoming a son and daughter because you already are one. But as you surrender to him, as you are led by Holy Spirit, you learn each day to live as one. Now that right there is the challenging truth that we need to grasp today. That right there is how we need to embrace that and go, okay, well, what does that look like in my life? No matter where you've come from, you gave your life to him. You remain his son. So as we close this morning, I don't want us to ask the Holy Spirit to do something through us. I simply want to make room. His presence is our priority, yeah? I want to make room for him to do something within us. Now, there is the biblical thing that says we lay hands on, but we're not going to do that today. Because I believe Holy Spirit is going to touch you, transform this heart, take out the lie, replace it with the truth as we sit there. just where you are, I just want you to open your hands. Close your eyes. We sang this song, Waiting Here for You. Just want the team to sing that over us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and move. Come and move. Come and move. And it's you we adore, singing Perhaps you today, you know you've slipped back into performance. You love Jesus, but somewhere along the line, you started measuring yourself with God by how well you've done. When you succeed, you feel close to Him, but when you fail, you feel far removed. I believe today, Holy Spirit wants to address that lie and remove it and remind you that He is close to you as ever. He is in you. He lives with you. He goes with you wherever you go. Holy Spirit never leads you back to performance. He always leads you towards the Father. And right now, I believe the Holy Spirit is drawing you. He's drawing you towards the open arms of the Father. I just had this picture this morning as I was preparing upstairs. I saw the Father in this open field, a little distance away, with His arms open. And I saw these children running to Him, into His arms, and He was embracing them and swinging them around, and they were giggling and He was laughing. And then this morning, as I walked in, one of our intercessors stopped me and said, "Hey, I just physically saw a son clamber onto the stage and run over to his father," which is one of our team, "and give him a big hug." And I believe that's what the Father wants to do today. Confirmation of what I got this morning. And I believe this morning, right here in this place, that is what is happening. We have a Father who loves you, who has His arms open, and He's calling you. And He's saying, "Come, my son. Come, my daughter. My arms are open. I just want to embrace you. I just want to love you. I want you to feel my love." Holy Spirit is drawing you into the arms of the Father. And He wants to reveal the Father's heart to you. I believe that somebody needs to hear this, that Father is saying to you, "My grace is sufficient. My love is unwavering. My love is unconditional. My love is never ending. My arms are open. Come, come. Allow me to embrace you this morning." Whew. Jesus, thank you that you kept your promise. Thank you that you are a God that we can trust at all times. Forgive us for those times that we don't really trust you. We try and do things in our own strength. Forgive us. Holy Spirit, help us to trust without any conditions. Today we declare we are not orphans. We are not orphans. We are yours. Right there where you are, just say, I am not an orphan. I am a son or a daughter, whoever you are. You need to say that again. I am a son or a daughter, whatever you are. Just say, I am a son or I'm a daughter. I am a daughter. Your heart needs to hear your mouth say that. Say that again. I am a son. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll seal this word, that we will not turn back to our old ways, that we will not turn back to the way that we have been. But today we leave everything in this room. And as we walk out tall. We walk out with our shoulders pulled back, our chin lifted high, with a confidence, I am a son or I am a daughter. Confirm this word in our spirit and help us at all times to live a spirit-led life. We ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Let's give God praise.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.